Praise the Lord. Thank you. What a blessing. Good, good song. And good way to start things off 2012. Got a good crowd. Appreciate you coming today. And again, a lot of folks out of town. Good, great crowd Christmas Sunday. And that was such a blessing. And praise the Lord for that. Here in our passage, Joshua chapter 5, we read verses 10 through 12. And children of Israel about to go in and see God do a great, great work in Jericho. They're in Canaan, and they have watched God do some great works, but they've been 40 years in the wilderness, and now they're in Canaan. Now they're about to experience God blessing them in a great way, and the walls of Jericho are going to fall down, and they're in verses 10 through 12, they're eating the old corn of the land. The outside Jericho, all the farmers have retreated to Jericho, and they've left their farms, they've left everything that they had, and that which they've put up, they've stored. The children of Israel are now taking that, and they are obviously going to conquer Jericho. We know that. But I call your attention to the passage in verse 12. It says, they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You know, New Year's time, you tend to go into Scripture and you get your concordance out and you look up year and you try to find everything that talks about a year. And when I read that, I thought of Canaan this year. Canaan this year. Canaan, of course, is a picture of a lot of things. One thing it's a picture of, I think, is the Christian life and the Spirit-filled Christian life. The crossing over and trusting the Lord and completely relying on Him. But often, and songwriters have found it to be very, very good to compare Canaan to heaven and talking about crossing over the Jordan as the crossing over from death into life and the promised land and all of that. And I kind of want to use that that illustration this morning, thinking about Canaan this year. What if 2012 is your year to go to heaven? What if 2012 is our year? What if the rapture could take place? And certainly, you know, that Mayan calendar, we got to watch that. And all the prophecies out there, you know, the guy that blew it twice last year, you know, I think he's trying to come back and get a little more money to make another prophecy. But, you know, Canaan, the promised land. As the songwriter says, let me see, number 75, on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast, wait a minute, I'll get to it, all right, there it is, I cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land, oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. And you know, it's an exciting thought, Canaan this year. You say, oh, I'm pretty entrenched here. I kind of like what's going on here. And well, you know, the truth is we don't have a whole lot of choice in that. And it is appointed unto man once to die. Everybody's going to die. Where will we go? Canaan this year. I think of, I have a home beyond the river. I think about in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And Canaan this year. I want you to think about that for the next few minutes. 2012 is here. Is it the year for Canaan in your life? Is it the year for heaven for you? Father, bless now the preaching. Give us what we need. Challenge us, Lord. I pray if there's someone here not saved, not prepared, were they to die? Canaan certainly is not their home. Heaven is not their home. I pray they'd get saved today, please. What a great way to start out 2012 for someone coming to Christ. Can't think of a better day to have their spiritual birth than today. And I pray for that. I pray for Christians that you'll encourage us with the thought the rapture could take place this year. We could go to heaven this year. Lord, I pray that you'll challenge us, though, that if not, if we don't, that God will have a great year serving you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A lot of things will happen in 2012. A lot of things won't happen in 2012. Doors will open. A lot of doors will close. the economy, what's going to happen in Michigan, what's going to happen in the election coming up, what's going to happen as far as jobs are concerned. Just read in the paper and already had heard about this. The Sears here in town is closing, and there's another 40, 50, 60 jobs or so. And, you know, some may have to move away because of a job. Others have done that already. Folks will have babies, and there will be, of course, services here, and there will be souls saved, and lives will be changed. We'll have our Vacation Bible School, if the Lord will, and we'll see many young people come to Christ. We'll have our missions conference and have a wonderful time there. Of course, in the summer, we'll have the fair ministry, and we'll see if Kathy Morin can keep going and spend every day, all day during the fair at the fair ministry at the tent. We'll baptize some and baptize many. We'll baptize folks, and we'll have choir songs and cantatas and services, and God will bless. The shepherds will meet, and they'll rejoice and have a good time, and we'll have all those things. Those are all on the calendar. We plan those kinds of things happening, and those are all good thoughts, and those are great things. But there will be funerals as well. And as we had last year, we had a lot of funerals. And it's always a tough thing. Of course, tornadoes could hit. There could be fires. There could be wrecks. There could be many things. But one thing is certain, that it could be Canaan this year. It could be for you. It could be for me. It could be for all of us as we consider the idea that the rapture. One thing we do know is it's appointed. There's an appointment on God's calendar for each of us to die. You know, if we could just see God's calendar, right, we would know exactly. And boy, we'd get ready for that. Well, the thing is, we don't know. And we don't know when the rapture is going to take place either. We have no idea. Because if we did, boy, we'd really get busy, right? And we really should get busy anyway. But, you know, one thing is certain. Canaan, the heaven. Will we be in heaven this year? Is 2012, is it the year that I will be in heaven? Is it the year you'll be in heaven? Is it our year? I was reading this and going over my notes and everything, and I got word about the athletic director of MACS, Michigan Association of Christian Schools, Dave Baldwin. I've known him over the years through with the sports programs and everything, and Dave is always just a good, kind man and a good Christian, and just loves the Lord and really wanted to make a difference in the Michigan Association of Christian Schools, and got an email that that he went to be with the Lord the other day. Just a sudden heart attack. He was out changing a tire on his car, and just all of a sudden, he's in heaven. All of a sudden, just like that, and we don't know when. And I'm not trying to, you know, put a damper on anything. In fact, it's a very, very positive message. But two points this morning that I want you to consider as we think of Canaan this year, and they're very simple points. One is if, and the other one is if not. If Canaan, if not Canaan. Number one, if Canaan. The Israelites, 40 years in the wilderness, and there would be no more moving tents. There would be no more fiery serpents. There'd be no more rocky terrain. There'd be no more fearsome Amalekites. There'd be no more of the howling wilderness and all that that carried with it. And they would be in Canaan. Of course, as we read our passage, they're there now. But Jericho looms ahead, and there are battles and all of that. But imagine how now they're going to go into the promised land. Now they're going to go into the place that God had for them. Now they're going to be in the wonderful Canaan land. And I think about the believer, and going to heaven's not a bad thing for the Christian. Going to heaven's a wonderful thing for the Christian. No more trials. No more tears, no more temptations. I mean, God promises us a mansion. God promises us an inheritance. God promises us, and I think one of the greatest things, and we kind of overlook, is a sinless body. You'll not have a bad thought in heaven. You'll not have a wicked temptation in heaven. You'll not surmise again in heaven. Everybody, you see, you'll love them, you'll rejoice, you'll praise God. There will be no illness in heaven, and those aches and pains, glory to God, they're going to be gone. And those who have no sight, they'll be able to see. Those that have no hearing, they'll be able to hear. Those that wear glasses, they won't need them. You wear contacts, you won't need them either. And all that will be gone when we enter into heaven's bliss. There'll be no arthritis in heaven, praise God. There'll be no more stomach aches, no more flu, no more colds, no more sniffing and runny nose, and all that's gone. Won't need Kleenex in heaven, amen? What a blessing to think about what it's going to be like in heaven's glory. Canaan this year, heaven this year. Will it be 2012? Rejoice, Christian, it could be. It could be this year. You say, "Well, I want to, but I have loved ones here." And you know, I think about elderly folks, and of course, we went to the nursing homes this year and sang Christmas carols. I had a great time, and I saw folks whose hands were all gnarled up. And you know, can you imagine when they get into heaven's glory and they can stretch those fingers out and. And they'll be able to move their arms again, and they'll be able to run up and down the streets of gold. And it's been a long time, and maybe this will be the year that they'll be able to do that. And you know, you think about the loved ones that are here, and you say, but you know, the older you get, the more you have there. That's one of the most exciting things that I never understood as a young preacher. But as I've gotten older, I've recognized that there are so many there now. You know. Somewhere along the line, it's going to be, I've got more there than I've got here. I remember my grandparents talking about as they got older, and they started talking about, well, where's so-and-so? Oh, they died. Oh, where's so-and-so? Well, they died. And all of a sudden, you know, they're thinking, all my friends are gone. And the people that I used to be around all the time, the people we used to fellowship with, they're all gone. They've all gone to heaven. And you know, you get to thinking about that. And somewhere along the line, you'll have more up here than you do down here. You'll have more in heaven than you do here on this earth. And what an exciting thought that is. And I'm not trying to, get you to, oh, God, take me home now. But what if it is? What if 2012 is the year? What if it is the year? If it's Canaan this year, what a glory. What a glory. And we don't want to leave people behind, and that's a tough thing. But what a glory to be able to see Jesus. I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, what a blessed thought it is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. What glory it is. Could be this year. Could be this year. I'm like you. I'd rather the rapture take place than a car wreck. I'd rather, in my mind, I think that I'd rather the rapture take place than to be flying somewhere and the plane crash, you know. I'd rather the rapture take place than to be eaten by a shark. No sharks around here, right? Amen. I'd rather the rapture take place than a tornado. I'd rather the rapture take place than a fire. Amen. But what if it's Canaan? What a blessing, the thought. Here the Bible says, in verse 11, it says, they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn in the selfsame day. I mean, this is 40 years of God giving manna, and manna is a wonderful thing. What a blessing manna is. We'll talk about that in a minute. But now they're going to eat the fruit of Canaan, the fruit of the land that God had promised. And folks, as good as it is here, and God is good, and God is always good, but as good as it is here, it's so much better in heaven's glory. It's going to be so much better. Are you ready? Are you ready to cross? Are you ready to go? Are you ready? We should be ready. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready? Are you ready? What if 2012, your heart stops? It's amazing, absolutely amazing if you think about the human body. And how we stay alive. We're not plugged in. Amen. And we just keep going. And it is absolutely, the heart just keeps beating because God keeps it beating. And you keep breathing because God keeps you breathing. And you get oxygen because God makes sure you have oxygen. And we just keep living because God keeps us living. But what if he says, the appointed time is here? Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Oh, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you're not prepared. You are not ready. You need to get ready. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to get saved today. I beg you, I plead with you, let January 1st, 2012 be the day that you come. Someone will take a Bible. They'll show you how that you can be saved today. You need to realize that you're a sinner. You need to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. And you need to call on Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you and save your soul so you can be ready. Because 2012 may be the year. It may be the year. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Christian, are you ready? You say, oh, I'm ready to go. Are you? You know, maybe you say today, well, there's some things I need to do. I'd do them if I were you. I'd do them. I'd get busy. I'd do whatever it is. I'd get ready because it could be that 2012 is our year. It could be the year that we eat the fruit of the land of Canaan. Could be the year that you woke up and you look and there's your mansion. It could be the year that you see those streets of gold. Could be the year that you enter in through the pearly gates. Could be the year, oh, praise God, that you see Jesus Christ there in heaven. Could be the year. Could be the year. Are you ready? Are you prepared? If it is this year, are you ready? But I want to concentrate mainly on number two, and that is if not. What if it's not? What if 1 year from now we are going into or we enter into 2013. And you're still here. That means you went a whole year. You went all of 2012 and you went through tornado warnings, right? And we had all kinds of, you had health issues and you went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, it doesn't look good. But you made it through. You know, Dale Stewart, just 1 week ago. I mean, everything's going great for Dale. On Monday, he's with all his family and everything. They're having fellowship and they're playing some kind of a game or something like that. And all of a sudden, chest pains. And all of a sudden, Dale's in Bixby Hospital. Next thing, he's in Toledo Hospital. Next thing, they're doing a heart catheterization. They're putting 3 stents in. He didn't plan that. Didn't know anything about it. But hey, here he is. There he is somewhere. There he is over there. And he's doing great. But you know, you go through all of 2012. What's it going to be? You know, it's interesting how we kind of determine what our year. You say I'm ready to go to heaven. Well, but what if you don't go to heaven this year? What if God keeps you here on this earth? By the way, if you are here now, obviously it's God's will that you're here. Amen. It's God's will that you're still alive. He can turn that heart off anytime. He can stop the lungs anytime. He knows what he's doing. And you're still alive. And 1 year from now, what did you do with 2012? If I'm not going to go to heaven, and by the way, what a wonderful thought to go to heaven. But if I'm not going to go to heaven, shouldn't I make the most of being here? I mean, if you're not going to get to eat the fruit of the land of Canaan in 2012, shouldn't you decide that 2012, I'm going to do something great since God kept me here? Since I didn't get to go there? What are you going to do with the year? If not, if I don't go to Canaan, then what should I do? Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. I'll be honest, it is an exciting thought to go to heaven. It's an exciting thought to be in heaven. The going, you know, that tends to bother us all just a little bit because we've never died. Now, I know somebody after the service will come up and tell me, you know, I died one time, let me tell you, you know, and all that kind of thing. Please don't, not today. But the truth of the matter is, we're not real excited about all that, but to be in heaven, we think about it, don't we? I mean, surely you think about your mansion. Surely you think about the streets of gold. Surely you think about the throne and Jesus. Surely you think about that. Surely with the songs that are sung and all that we talk about in the preaching and the reading of the Word of God, you think about what a great thing it's going to be through all eternity in heaven. I hope you do. But what if you don't go to heaven? Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. I mean, what if you don't go to heaven in 2012? Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, Paul understood something that we need to understand. And that is, okay, if you can't go to heaven, you might as well have heaven on earth. I mean, you know, I know we can't have heaven as far as the mansions, the streets of gold, Jesus on the throne. And I understand we can't have all of that here on this earth. But Paul said this. He said, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I call that the heavenlies. The heavenlies. You know, it's you've heard of people, boy, they look like they're walking on cloud nine. Well, I don't know about what cloud nine is, but I do know this. I know that there are some folks, they look like, they act like, they're just kind of a little bit above everybody. Not in socially how they are, but they're just kind of, they're in a cloud. It's like Jesus really is real. Amen. It's like the Bible really is the Word of God. And when I talk to God, He really is there. And it's like He really is answering my prayer. He really is in my life. He really is doing something with me. That's what Paul talked about. In Christ, he said. In Christ, he said, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, the heavenly. Hebrews 4, verse 3, we which have believed do enter into rest, a peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It's an amazing thing. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 13. It talked about this recently in a message, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest there is an interesting word. It's down payment. It's the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. And that happens when you get saved. That down payment, that inheritance, down payment of that inheritance, it's God's Holy Spirit in me, dwelling in me, and constantly affirming and letting me know, hey, it's all coming. And it's always, it's a promise from God that it is going to take place. The marriage will take place. You will be there one day. Down payment. You know, it's a guarantee from God. No Christian should hang their head in sadness. I mean, I understand we have sadness. We have sorrow. Things come. Things go. Things happen. Valleys come. Mountaintops come. All those things take place. But ultimately, you and I should be able to say, you know what? I am as if I'm in heaven. Because God guarantees all of it for me. I am amazed at how sad so many Christians are. How down so many Christians are. Somebody says, well, once I get to heaven, I'll be secure. How can you be more secure than God's promise? How can we be more secure than what God says here in Ephesians 1? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He says, I'm with you always. Amen. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never leave. Are you listening? I'll never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. And I understand you can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. But He doesn't leave. And wherever He is, it's heaven. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you can have salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And that's God living in you. It's amazing how we'll say, no, God, I don't want to do this. It's amazing how we shh, God, don't tell me that. Shh, I don't want to hear it. We'll do it in church. God will start speaking to our heart about reading our Bible through. Did you read your Bible through in 2011? You say, I wish you hadn't brought that up. See? And then God starts working, you know, about our prayer life, about our soul winning, about whatever it might be. God deals with us and starts speaking. And we're like, shh, shh, shh. That's God you're telling shh to. Don't tell God shh. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll do whatever you say, God. How could you be more secure than what God says? Look at John chapter 10. I don't understand how, when I get to heaven, I'll be in my mansion. I won't have to worry anymore. Why are you worried today? You don't have to worry now. Look at John chapter 10. And there are so many verses. But I just want to challenge you today. You know, how can it be more secure than John chapter 10, verse 27? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. He says, I know them. Now, I'm not, you know, 1 John 5, 13, ye may know that ye have eternal life. But here's what he said. He says, I know them. I know you. And he says, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a beautiful picture that is. But it gets better. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I mean, come on, how does it get more secure than that? I mean, though the winds may blow, though the devil may rage, though the world may attack, though people may say all kinds of things, you cannot be more secure than when you trust Christ as Savior. You do what He says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Oh, my friend, today you need to understand something. We're saying, well, when I get to heaven, all my worries will be over. Your worries can be over now. You don't have to be insecure or unsecure about your salvation today. You can nail it down. You can make sure simply by doing what God said. God will never break His word. He'll never break His word. You say, but once I get to heaven, I'll have victory. We are more than conquerors here. I can do all things through Christ here. Why are we waiting on heaven to have victory? Get out there and fight a battle. You'll find victory. It's amazing how many Christians are waiting on that final victory instead of having victory every day. Victory in Jesus. That's why when we're singing that, I look around. Some folks, it's just not very exciting. You know? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. And you're looking at your mansion. You're looking at the streets of gold that lead to it. You're looking at the throne in glory. What you need to be looking at is victory. I just had victory today. I just had victory yesterday. In fact, all last week I had a lot of victories. Praise God. I had a victory, many victories in 2011. And instead of waiting on a final victory, how about today I won a victory. Yesterday I won a victory. I'm planning a victory tomorrow. I'm praying for victory today. I'm praying for more victories now. Amen. Why do we want to wait? We're victorious people. Amen. You know, there's no white flag for the Christian that abides in Christ. It's just, moving forward to conquer, to win, to be victorious. We're more than conquerors. To me, more than a conqueror means I'm not just sitting around, oh, I just hope someday Jesus comes. Man, more than conqueror means I'm more than a final conquering. I'm going to keep conquering and conquer and conquer and conquer and beat the devil on the head every chance I get. Amen. Amen. That's what we ought to be doing. I like Matthew 6 and verse 10. Look at it real quick. Matthew 6 and verse 10. The Lord's Prayer, teach us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's how we're supposed to pray right there. In earth as it is in heaven. How do we pray? Well, God, I'm praying today that your will would be done here just like it is there. God, I'm praying that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's not somebody praying that, oh, I'm just holding on till the end. Oh, I'm just hoping I can make it. It's God, I want your will to be done now, today, tomorrow, 2012. If you don't take me home, if you don't take me to heaven, if I don't cross over the Jordan this year, bless God, I want to bring heaven here in my life. I want your will to be done here, just like it is there. Do you ever doubt that God's will is not being done in heaven? God says build a mansion there, it's built. God says do it this way, it's done that way. My pond of chocolate is, I think it's all being dug out right now. Amen. My sugar lick is already fashioned and ready to go. Amen. I mean, honestly, God says, here's how it is, right here. Do it this way, and that's how it's done. Everything he says, that's the way it is. Shouldn't we pray for that right here? God, I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done in Adrian, Michigan. I want your will to be done in Lenawee County, God. And we know your will is for souls to come to Christ and be born again and their lives to be changed and they to be a new creature and old things to pass away. That's God's will to be done for the drunk is that he gets saved and he gets undrunk. Talked to somebody the other day and they said, I know I'll always be an addict. And I looked at them. And I thought, you just made a huge mistake telling a preacher that believes this book, that believes it, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I said, let me tell you something. There is a solution to that. And his name's Jesus. Oh, listen to me, folks. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. You know, I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how bad somebody is. I don't care what they're. See, we've gotten away from thinking God can do anything. Thy will be done in earth. I'm just waiting. Times are so bad. Oh, what's 2012 going to be? I don't know about you, but I'm getting out the sword and I'm going to keep wielding it. Amen? Oh, you know. Oh, it's so bad. And if the election goes away, I'm afraid it's going to. I'm so sick and tired of people. Now, vote right. Use the Bible to guide you and ask the Holy Spirit how you should vote and do it yourself. By the way, if you don't vote, keep your mouth shut. But honestly, folks, you know, it's not what happens in the White House as much as what happens in this house. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Don't give up. Don't give up. Please, Christians, don't give up heaven. Paul said, wow, yeah, you know, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Remember? He said, I don't know what, as if he had a choice, right? You know, I just don't, you know, I don't know which would be better, to go to heaven or stay here on earth. I don't know if that's how you pray, but you ought to. God, I we're having such a good time. No, you. But it's a valley. The earth is such a valley. Somebody says, when I get to heaven, I'll see Jesus. And that's a wonderful thought. But I've got some good news for you. You don't have to wait. Just walk with him every day. He's the one that said, abide in me. That means stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. Well, he won't want to watch what I... Then don't watch it! He won't want to go where... Then don't go! Amen. Communion with the Lord. You know, I'll have that in heaven. I'm just going to sit on his lap for hours. You don't get on your knees for minutes. Hello? Oh, listen. Oh, just to be near the Word. And what do you do with the Word? Here. I know. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm excited. What if we go to heaven? It'll be wonderful. But if we don't, it can be wonderful. It should be wonderful. What's 2012 going to be? Oh, you know, we get to heaven, we'll be able to sing his praises. What's stopping you now? Well, what would they think? Who cares? Honestly, a lot of Christians are going to really freak out finding out you can smile while you sing. You get to heaven, it's going to be a whole new muscle group going to have to work when you're singing, amen? Oh, just think about it, though. But you ought to start practicing here, amen? We can sing his praises. Well, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, you may not hit all the notes right. I think in heaven we'll all hit the notes right, amen? The Bible just says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Like you do in the shower when nobody's around. Amen. Amen. And, you'll sing songs and you'll mess up the songs and you'll kind of chuckle about it, but you'll be joyful. Amen. And then you come to church and it's like, why are we so aware of everybody else? And then everybody else is aware of everybody else. And then they're aware of everybody else. And so nobody sings because we're so aware of everybody else. Right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Right? Sarah used to video the Rejoice program, didn't you, down at Pensacola. And I remember when that first came out, they had to tell people, now folks, you know, there's cameras all over the place. They're videoing everything, and you're being videoed. You might get videoed, so stay awake and sing with a smile. There were services that I thought, well, and it wouldn't have shocked me if they would have said, cut, you know, right in the middle of the service. Because you're watching people, and I remember one time one fellow was up on the platform, and he was struggling. I'm not going to mention any names, but he was struggling. He really was. It was like, and in my mind, I could hear cut, cut. You know, don't play that. You know, the guy, and it was a good message. It had nothing to do. It was just the guy was struggling, And you know, and choir members, you know, that are singing a song about with the sound of praise, and they're, it's like, okay, that's not going to work. You can't do that. But honestly, folks, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come before His presence with what? Singing, Psalm 100. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. Amen. You know, it's such a blessing to think of my early years before when I first got saved, and I didn't know any of the songs, but I knew parts of the songs. It was so exciting. I'd go to work and worked on an assembly line, and there on that assembly line, I didn't care what anybody thought. I told them from the beginning I was a Christian, and that puts a mark on you anyway, so go ahead and just be a Christian. Amen. And singing those songs and just partially singing them, you know, leaning on the everlasting arms became amazing grace, became victory in Jesus, and everything got all mixed up and mingled. But I'll tell you one thing, I was rejoicing. Amen. And we need to rejoice. We really do. You say, I'm just waiting to get to heaven. I'll rejoice then. Till then, it'll just be a bucket of tears. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Honestly, I'm so sorry. I understand the fruit of the land of Canaan. Oh, what a blessing that is. Manna's not so bad. It's bread from heaven. You know, I'm just getting tired of this manna. And they did. It kept them alive. And it came right out of heaven. There are some folks, just all you see is negative. Negative, negative, negative. How in the world do you even think heaven's going to be positive? Do you think when you get to heaven, dust on the throne? Oh, look who's here. Who do they think they are? Right? It's not going to be like that. So why is it here? Oh, we ought to rejoice. We have so much to praise God. There's, you know, well, we gripe about manna. Oh, you know, what about the garlics and the leeks and the melons and the onions from Egypt? What about the whip on your back? Huh? What are you going to gripe about in heaven? Mansion's not big enough. You sent the material. Don't blame God. Yeah, streets are gold, but, you know, I could sure use that gold. Oh, let me tell you, you're not going to gripe. You're not going to complain, so don't hear. Folks don't give, and they don't understand why nothing's happening. Folks don't serve God, and they don't understand, oh, life's just dull. Folks don't they're not faithful to church and miss out. You know, many of you won't be here tonight. A lot of folks came last Sunday night, And it's like you know, you don't want to use the down payment God gave, the Holy Spirit of God. You don't want to call on Him. You don't want Him to fill you and control you and to run your life and to let Him say, give $10, and let Him say, put $20 there, or let Him say, give that person $20. You don't want to live that kind of life, because we were so entrenched in this world, and somehow we think we'll go up there and it'll all be wonderful. Why can't it be wonderful now? That's all I'm saying. Trials, yes, but He always has grace. And He always gives us strength to bear those trials. And it's all available. I'll tell you what, I've decided I'm going to have heaven whether I go there or not. And I wish you'd decide the same thing. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And He wants us to have that. Today, get saved so you can have that life, that eternal life. Trust Christ as Savior. Be born again. 1 Corinthians 15, look at it real quick. I'm just about done. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48. All of 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, it'll get you excited. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. It's pretty good, isn't it? As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, listen, get saved today. If you're not saved, come today. Let us take a Bible. Let us show you from the Word of God how you can be saved today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then when you get saved, wow. Wow. Ephesians 2. A couple more verses and we'll be done. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's salvation. By the way, if you had nothing else to rejoice about today, you could rejoice about that, Christian. Amen. I mean, oh yeah, but that was years and years ago. It's still good. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's in time past. According to the prince of the power of the air, He was your master. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Okay, you see it all happening, but it ain't happening in your life if you're saved. Doesn't have to. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You're miserable today because you're still prone to that kind of a life, that kind of conversation. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up. Hey, have you been raised up today? You need to get raised up this morning. I'm telling you, in 2012, get raised up. And made us sit together in heavenly places. There it is again, in Christ Jesus. Oh, what's going to happen in 2000? I'm kind of concerned about. Get raised up. Get raised up. Get on the altar today and get down so you can get up. That's what we need in 2012. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Paul goes on. He's excited. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. That's you know, you make this a heavenly place, and the manifold wisdom of God comes upon this place, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And the world says, well, that's not politically correct. Well, I don't care. They say, well, you're going to offend them. I don't care. Well, you're going to make those other religions? I don't care. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no man, no man, no man, no man, no man, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the message. Neither is there salvation in any other. That is the message. You say, I'm a little nervous to talk about those kind of things. I understand. That's because you're waiting on heaven there. You need to get excited about heaven here. Be faithful. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to your Bible reading. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to tithe. Be faithful to serve. Hey, if I guarantee that little prescription right there, if you do go to heaven in 2012, you'll sure be glad you were doing all those things. Amen. But if you don't, you know what? You're going to find yourself smiling, rejoicing, not looking at every little speck of dirt in everybody's life, not looking for every little negative thing in life itself, but you'll be rejoicing and praising the Lord. Let me show you something. I say, let me. I'm going to anyway. This song, it's funny how we think about songs. Dwelling in Beulah Land it's one of my favorite songs. You know, Dwelling in Beulah Land, it's not about heaven. It's about here. It's now. Far away, the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling, and they do. None of these shall move me from what? Beulah Land. Amen. I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. And next time we sing it, believe it, instead of viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah Land. Hey, I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking, when? Now, at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling, when? Oh, maybe 2012, maybe not. I'm going to just dwell there now. Amen. In Beulah Land. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you ready? Are you prepared? If you died today, if you died in the next 10 minutes, are you ready? Have you been saved? How many would say, preacher, I have been saved. I've trusted Christ. If I died right now, I know, there's no doubt about it, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand as a testimony of that. You know you're saved. No doubt about it. God bless you. Thank you. That's such a wonderful sight. You can put your hands down. But if there's one, somebody here today who'd say, preacher, I'm not ready. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. Pray for me. Someone, raise your hand. Slip it up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come after you. I just want to pray for you. Are you sure you're saved? Anyone? You say, I do not know. I'm not sure. How many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart as a Christian today. I'm saved, I know that, but God's dealing with me about something in my life. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Thank you. Thank you, Father, so much for your precious word. Thank you for the promises. Please forgive us, Lord, for being down and discouraged and looking at economy and looking at jobs and looking at circumstances and God, not looking at you. Help us to abide in Christ, to walk with you, to dwell in Beulah Land every day in 2012, and then every day till you take us on to heaven. God, We know it'll be Beulah and there. We know what it'll be. And actually, we can't imagine all the things, Father, but we know it's going to be wonderful. But God, I pray that we'd not settle for anything less than your best for us here. I pray some folks will claim promises that they haven't even thought of in years. I pray for 2012, it'll be a great year. In Jesus' name, amen.